This is the Goobs Podcast. My name is Sean Evans, and we got Adam Evans on the line all the way in Austin, Texas. How you doing today, man?
I am doing absolutely swell.
Good, man. We've been talking about this idea for how long? Like, I want to say like a few years. We've mentioned it very briefly.
Yeah, honestly. We've been kind of chomping at this a little bit. Like, I mean, this was like some sort of mighty oak or something.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess we didn't really
but here we are
again. Here we are.
Honestly, yeah. We had the idea, the concept, but I'm glad that Anchor has been the platform that we stumbled across. And that's a huge shout out to them, first
huge
off.
Huge shout out to Anchor. Man, I'm so relieved to finally be on this platform talking to you right now and being able to have the opportunity to do a session with you, even though we are 1,100 miles away from each other. And we've been 1,100 miles away from each other, it seems, our entire lives. I know we've...
It has been. We're coming up on, what, lucky seven?
Seven years.
Yes, but the cool thing is that... We're creating healthy habits in 2020. We've been doing it, you know, 2019. That was a rough year.
It was a rough year, lie. But we made it through, man. We truly made it through. Did this. I want to tell the listeners that, you know, we did this 30-day challenge of calling each other every single day. And, you know, some days it didn't work, but we just picked up the slack on the other days, you know, whether it was 30 minutes every single day, and then we would drop off one day, and then on the day that we would drop off, the next day we would do like 2 hours, you know, or whatever.
Absolutely.
And I feel like people need to know who the Evans brothers truly are, because they only know us maybe from work, or maybe, you know, my friends only know you from the things I tell them, or
whatever. I love is you and I, we're two forces of nature, you know? And there was a story that was told by an old boss of mine that I highly admire. Big shout out to Miss Farmer Brown, Miss Alvarez. Anyway, she told this story of these two trees being planted a little apart. And then there was another row in her orchard where she had two seeds that were, you know, planted really closely. As they grew up, they were doing fine at different stages, but as a, you know, a couple seasons go through, the trees that were planted too closely, they ended up stealing each other's nutrients. Now the trees that were separated, now they grew to decent size to where their branches started overlapping and their roots underneath connected, right? And I feel like that's been our story from the get-go, from the jump.
You're right.
When we do get on the same wavelength, oh wow, it's going to take off. These 1,100 miles are going to be just a flight and some Skype and some podcasting, because we're here to share some love and show some love to the public. We're going to keep it real, because my brother is a true star. He shines bright, and I'm over here too.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, man, I'm over here cooking some humble pie for everyone, because look, it's not about us. It's about the greater public. It's about the greater public, man. You got to be a little selfless sometimes. We got to remember what we're doing this for, because with the proper intent, passion, and purpose, man, we can knock down any wall. Walls of Jericho, all of it. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And I'm glad that you said that, because you're right about it all. And it resonates with me. And I think the best way to do this is to kind of go back and forth with some questions so that we can fill in the gaps from start to finish. So let's bring it back to when we were living in Hayhira. I mean, we were living in Hayhira. I'm pretty sure we started living in this. We started living in this trailer park, and if I'm not mistaken,
probably, man, Jesus.
I mean, we lived in this trailer park. I remember it very. I barely remember it, but I do remember that we lived in this trailer park, and there was a hole in one of the walls, like. Yeah, there was a hole.
Man, you've never
seen one of the walls, and
We're gonna have to come back to this. We're gonna have to come back to this because that's gonna be a whole nother episode, man. Because Sean and I, we're not too shabby looking. All right. Right, so right. Well, we tell a backstory, like, you know, of the other side of the railroad tracks, man. People look at us like, you know, we're making fun, but we're like, hey, real recognizes real. Kings straight and up. Queens. Yeah. We ain't here to boast, but here to raise a toast. Like, we're just showing some love.
Exactly. So, all right. So when we lived in Hayhira, a small town in Georgia, I mean, there's not really much.
Oh, my God.
We were both born in Brunswick, right on the coast.
Well,
we lived in Hayhira. Wait, what's that?
No. We're both coastal boys, but I was actually born in Valdosta, Georgia, at the college town.
You were born in Valdosta.
Yeah. And little backstory, because you're going to want to know this tidbit of information. This is where mom, our mother, who passed away.
Yeah.
This is where her and dad met at this campus, the college, Georgia State University. There.
Right, because Pop was teaching there, right?
Absolutely. Pop is the one who pulled the strings for Scott to walk his little troubled self in there. Now, Scott is a character. I love my dad. Whew, you got to earn your stripes with that man.
Exactly. All right, so go on. So you were born in Valdosta.
Yeah.
And then I guess we all just kind of moved to Hayhira.
Well, okay, so... 2 years, Sean and I are 2 years and 4 days apart. We are both Libras. Yes, if that makes, you know, any sense, we'll have to dive into that sometime. But we're two Libras and fairly close in age, you know what I mean? So we played sports together and we did a lot of things together. It was like you and I, and we were often misconceived as like being twins, or you know what I mean?
All the time.
It was nuts.
All the time.
So we did move to Hayhira, but prior to this, you know, that'll be more in depth, but Hayhira, we moved in and we're moving into our father on his second attempt of marriage and, you know, creating a family. And doing his life, you know.
This is Hayhira. We're living in Hayhira right now.
This is Hayhira, Georgia. And this is like a farm town, dude. We literally,
we live
next to a cotton field, dude. You know what I mean? So, like, we can make jokes about that shit. You know what I mean? Like, you think that's a joke? Dad would have us doing some weird chores. He'd be like, hey, yo, your punishment? I'll be like, oh, man, I want to whoop it. He'd be like, nope, we're go out to the cotton field and just start picking. You know, like,
yeah,
I mean, just it, we grew up in such a way that it's funny that we're,
I mean, we won't
we talk really, about it now.
If you recall,
I try to find all the humor in it because that is also the place where Sean and I would venture across the street. Literally our front, you know, our house was back to a main road. And beside that road was the high school, which apparently
they
were doing pretty good in athletics for them to have such a nice field. They also had this asphalt, like, what kind of material was that?
I mean, it was like a track.
So Sean and I, we would take our little skateboards or scooters or whatever the heck we had at the time, and we would go and find our way over on this track, which was actually really nice. And, I remember one day, like, I don't know how, I was probably the one pushing you, because in our life, man, it's always been like me and you. Like, it looks like we hate each other from, like, on black and white on paper, it doesn't look good. But if you're there, you would understand. Like, because, so Sean and I'm pushing him on his belly, like turtle style, like Ninja Turtles, down this track, okay? And of course, man, boys being boys, we try to push it a little too far, and we push it to the limit, like gas pedal to
Hold on, let me stop you. Because we weren't just doing some things like, some activities like that where we're on skateboards, scooters, but I mean, we were trying to have fun. If we had a rope, we would tie that bitch to the back of your bicycle, and I would hold on to the back, and you would ride me around. You know what I mean?
We would be smashing the front tire on a soda can so that it would sound like a dirt bike on our bicycle as we rode through town. Like, we were
no. Hold up. You remember we couldn't afford pegs. We kept asking Dad for pegs. So we took these old Coke cans and we put them on the back, where like the nuts and bolts are, and you know we essentially had pegs.
I'm here. Sorry, I had to step in there for a second. Hello, babe.
Yeah, I'm here, man.
Disconnect. Oh, my bad.
You're in a quiet place.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, man, that day on that track in Hayhira, I fucked up my face really badly.
Yeah, you look like Harvey Dent out of a Batman episode gone wrong. And
man, it was such a Hayhira story too, because you weren't pushing me. You went home. I'm pretty sure you went home. Like, you jumped the fence, headed back home, which was literally across the street.
Yeah, because like,
and I'm telling you, like,
They were thinking I was the prime suspect, but I was like, I don't really remember like that being the day that you fucked your face up, man. But like, Sean was a trooper, okay? Like, he is a soldier. This little boy not only survived being Harvey Dent, I mean, his face was scabbed up. It was road rash. If you're a skater out there and you hit a gnarly hill, I definitely got my karma for laughing at you that day and giving you shit. But
yeah,
we also went to go see the first episode of Star Wars. Do you remember that film?
Phantom of the Menace.
Oh my gosh. If you do remember, then tell us, like, enlighten us. Give us some background to this story. Do you feel the direction?
Yeah, of course. So, you know, our dad, he takes us to the movie theater, and we were really excited about the Star Wars film that was called The Phantom of the Menace, and it came out in 1997. This is about the time period we were living in Hayhira, and it wasn't very often that we would go out and do things, you know. I mean thinking back about the time that we were living in Hayhira, Georgia, if we had Coke or chips or whatever, like, we were doing pretty good financially, you know. We knew that we were doing okay, right?
Yeah.
So we go to the movies, and we go to the movies and we love the movie, man. We become just Star Wars fanatics immediately. And when we get home, we're like, yo, I guess, you know, let's find some sticks and let's act like we got lightsabers and let's fucking do the thing, you know? So, you know, we're fighting, you know, we're having a blast. We're acting like, you know, the actors in the movies. And that's probably where it all began.
Sean,
man. I remember I broke
your... I'm telling you, from the moment, Sean, every moment of your life, you've been producing a film. You are a main character, and this is where us talking brings this out. This is a key moment. This is a key moment.
I mean,
we not only did extreme, you know, like X Game sports, but we did our Star Wars, where Sean had a lightsaber, but I somehow ended up with a lead pipe with a hook on the end of it. And I somehow, like, knocked him really fucking good in his chin. And he still has a scar to this day. Dude, it was chaos, okay? As a little kid, to be scared, as a little boy, it was that day. And on top of that, I knew I was lying when I said that I didn't do it.
You know, I remember like it was yesterday, because we didn't have lightsabers. We had sticks. I broke your stick, and
no,
you went to go look for another
no,
one.
No, this is... Well, your young mind there, okay? So we had the neighbor in on this event. He had a Master Blaster squirt gun. The kid had everything, okay? Little black kid. And Sean...
Yeah, I remember.
Sean, we had a lightsaber that was the Darth Smith. It was the double-sided lightsaber.
That's right.
You had gotten it for Halloween, and it was shortly after that where we had our battle with the lead pipe. And like, I the lead pipe definitely was more dense, okay? So I hit the lightsaber, and it kind of like folded over the metal pipe, and so it yeah. like did a like a little kind of backlash type shit, and then like it knocked you in the face, and like I swung, you know what I mean? Like it was slow mo as a little kid. I was like, oh fuck, you know, because I'm like watching my brother start gushing blood. It was terrible. I was like, whoa, what the fuck? I just killed my brother, like Cain and Abel type shit. And I was like, and the kid next that's from the neighbor is like, what? And he like takes off, goes on inside. So I'm like left with this, and I'm like, oh shit. So I'm like, all right, run inside. And they're like already coming out the house, and Sean's just like, ah, you know, like you handled it like a champ, dude, first off. But you ended up with like how many stitches? Like,
I don't even remember. Dude, all I remember is that this guy who did the stitches, he fucked me up real good, you know, to a point where the stitches were put in like not so great. I mean, we were in a small town.
Was that the same town that really broke your arm?
What they were doing. No, that was somebody else.
No, but was that Hey Hira?
We were at some beach with that grandma.
That was Day's mother. So, oh man. Yes, yeah, stepmom's, step grandmother. Yeah. I really haven't reached out to them much, but yeah, man. It probably looked really bad from CPS's, you know, angle, but you know, that's what led into you being taken in with our fabulous grandparents. Pop the OG. You know what I mean?
I'm trying to set up this story. So, you know, there's so many stories we could talk about.
Absolutely.
And I know we'll always be talking about them. But I remember when we were living in Hey Hira, our father and our stepmother at the time, you know, they had a kid. And her name is Summer. She's 19 years old. She just recently had a kid. She's doing well, it seems. But when we were living in Hey Hira, I remember we were all in the van that barely started, right? And we were headed home from visiting the grandma. And they get into an altercation. And this altercation ultimately has us walking on the side of the street, just the three of us, you, me, and Dad.
Well, holy shit, like dude. Yeah, that's nuts.
We got kicked.
Yeah. Out. Yeah.
How old were we? Like,
six? Yeah. Well, you were probably like 5, 6, and I was probably 6, 7, right around that time, because it started festering, and it boiled to a point where it was just a really toxic relationship. And man, we ended up getting picked up early from school, and like it was like some Beverly Hillbilly type shit. Like, we loaded up his little Ford Ranger truck, and this thing was like heaping tall. I don't know if you remember that, Sean, but like took a cramped drive with like a desktop computer in our laps. And my dad just saying, hey, well, this time it's for real, you know, like, and we're like, all right. And at that point, we had grown an attachment towards my father, because our step sibling wasn't, you know, she wasn't fair to us. And I don't want to go into too much depth on that, but like, it just wasn't a healthy environment to be growing up in. And I'm glad that Dad reached that point of removing himself from that, you know, toxic relationship, because it's what, you know, led us to Alabama. And
yeah,
you know what I mean? Life growing up with Scott, you know, has been very interesting, because he's kind of a stubborn billy goat. And as humans, we're all hard-headed billy goats sometimes, but man, he's a ram, man, and he's got his own little mountain. Like, yeah. Fun. Well, he's fun to kind of like, you know, spar with sometimes. That's good.
Yeah. Well, you know, so we moved from Hey Hira to Jacksonville, Alabama, which is about an hour and a half from Atlanta. I mentioned this very briefly in my first podcast. Oh, okay. But we lived in Jacksonville, and I remember We lived in a house behind our grandparents, literally right behind. Like, they had a yard with a fence.
Yeah.
And then we were the only house in this field behind them.
And a giant ass field.
Yeah. And I remember that, you know, Pop and our grandmother, they said, we want to build you guys a tree house. So they built us a tree house, and, you know, it was really cool. We stayed in there a few nights. You know, we would bring our dinner in there and camp out and then eventually go inside because it was too cold or whatever. But this one Halloween, we decided to make a haunted house out of this fucking tree house, right? And we were desperate because this is how I know that we were always entrepreneurs at heart, trying to make an extra buck, you know? And I remember we tried to decorate this treehouse to make it look spooky or whatever. You know, when you open up the trap door, something would fall. There were spiders drawn on the wood, you know.
You got to give this treehouse some credit too, because look, my father, he was a carpenter. He was a master carpenter, and he's a contractor now, but he himself, he's a master with his hands, and he created these awesome playscapes. I mean, those are the areas that I know he showed love to both of us, is that he went out of his way. And so on this treehouse, it was not just any treehouse. This thing went up at least like 15 foot in the air as a kid.
Oh, at least.
This is huge. Yeah. And it goes into a trap door. So there's no getting out or going in if you don't want anyone in. We had drawstring pulley system, like windows. Yeah. Where we could throw berries and all kinds of shit. You know what I mean? Like, my dad, that's where he showed love. And so, man, not just that, man, we did so much with this thing, but we were trying to get the whole neighborhood. And usually we could rally the whole neighborhood. That's how Jacksonville was. I don't know if you remember that. We would all like ride around on our bikes and stuff. And that's the kind of city that
we knew everything.
Kids to grow up in, I believe.
Wait, what?
I said I really feel like that was a good home for kids to grow up in a time where it was safe to roam the streets and kids could go ride their bicycles to the rec yard and, you know what I mean, hang out, you know, to dark, and, you know what I mean, be finishing up whatever we had going on. We would be out there. Remember that? The chase and the run at the house there. It was on the hill with the tire swing and the pool and the bamboo run. And we would go back there and we would take these pieces of bamboo and we'd be reenacting Lord of the Rings or whatever film that Sean and I, you know, had the chance to go see. And again, it's just another encounter with the passion and focus and direction we're going with all of this.
Exactly. Man, I remember like it was yesterday when we had that. Ah, man, I always bring up the house fire when I think of Jackson,
yeah.
You know?
And that's a huge moment in life.
That was such a weird time of my life because at that time, you and I
were separated. Yeah, we were separated, and that was huge. That was huge.
Yeah, I was emotionally detached. It took me a long time to realize that because, you know, I remember, you know, when we pulled up to the house, it didn't faze me. You know, I was just looking at it in shock and disbelief. But we are where we are today, and I'm super thankful for it.
Yeah, a lot of things went down that summer. It's like, I know what you did last summer.
Pretty much. I mean, a lot of things did go down that summer, as they do almost every summer.
For real, I mean, for real, for real. On a lighter note.
I mean, we had like some some crazy upbringings, man. Like some crazy, crazy upbringings. And we wouldn't be who we are today if it wasn't for those moments in life.
I try to find the humor in it. Maybe that's a defense mechanism. But, man, I rock it because... You got to find the humor in life, man, because life is way too short, precious, and valuable to just use it festering up. just boiling over, like, you know, some twice baked potatoes.
Yeah. On a side note, I just got this article from the New York Times, and I'm going to read it to you real quick, right?
That's so classy and suave.
So, New York Times just posted today at 7:43 p.m., about 3 hours ago, Eastern Time. The caption is, or the title is, "Coronavirus is advancing. All Americans need to shelter in place. The worst of the pandemic is yet to come. Listen to the medical experts. It's time for a national lockdown." I mean, what do you think about all this? I know it's not good.
Ooh.
But they're really trying to lock us
down. Do you want to put me on a two-question limit, a 30-second segment? Because you can really dive into this one. To keep it short and sweet, it's all it's like a 22 fake out. It's a illusion. It is a distraction. I believe there's probably more going on. This is nothing more than a flu that is a stronger strand. It's swine flu. But if I'm not mistaken, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't all that not common. It's just poor immune system. Yes, you are more prone to fatality. That is just natural. Now, them taking it to such a large, you know, attention, I believe that martial law is going into effect, and they're just testing a theory or algorithm or a protocol, just like doing a fire drill, just making sure that any event of mass hysteria, they'd be able to shut down the government and economy in a safe way. Because natural disasters like Hurricane Katrina, where just they just happen and they can't really prepare for it. And then they're put on the spotlight, and so they're having to, so they're trying to shut it down and not have loitering happening, boycotting, and, you know, a whole bunch of, right, you know, mass hysteria that comes with something of that nature. And of course, a virus is just, you know, another term for flu. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, you're in Austin, Texas, and, you know, give the listeners, you know, a little insight on, and, you know, how they're handling things. I mean, Austin, Texas, it's not only the music live capital of the world, but you got South by Southwest, you got Austin City Limits, you got music festivals. It's a huge.
It's an epicenter.
It's a beautiful,
honestly,
city.
Yeah, it's a huge city with potential, and it's growing so quickly, and it's going to be an epicenter. Honestly, it's a melting pot of cultures, a very liberal city, and from my perspective, and in saying that, they've been handling it really well. Travis County officials have been posting, you know, on several platforms and just announcing to people, hey, this is what's going on. Billboards on the highways even say, hey, this is how you can reach and get some details on the whole situation. Me, I don't really buy into all of it. I just continue with my just everyday ritual. It has been affected, you know, significantly, honestly, because they issued, you know, curfews due to, you know, businesses shutting down and, you know, just kind of restricting and just making sure everyone stays well. And so that's what they think is at home and quarantining. So with that happening, you know, a lot of businesses have shut down for the next 2 weeks or indefinitely or temporarily, just, you know, slapping these labels up. And so if you don't have a job in the medical field or, you know, as a government official or city employee or purpose to be out, you're more prone to being asked, hey, what are you doing out? And if that happens now after a certain hour, it could end up in potentially 6 months of jail, 180 days, or $1,000 fine. And that's in the, you know, Travis County, Williamson County, and counties.
I mean, what do you think? Like, let's try to get a little, let's be a little questionable. Let's act like let's say hypothetically speaking, and I mean hypothetically speaking, but let's act like this virus was created digitally, right? Let's act like this was not a real thing. Although they're coming up with statistics that are saying that people are dying, I haven't seen any pictures.
Yeah.
Never heard anything.
Where are the facts?
Russia. You know what I mean? Like, can you imagine? Can you imagine if this?
Let me dive in this pool with you, because honestly, we've already been proven by the 2020 or the 2016 elections that we could be manipulated, and there could be propaganda put out to influence a vote, right? They already showed that the Russians could do that. Now, maybe Asia or Russians are doing the same thing. They're just toying with us. They're like, we already messed with your government. Now we're going to mess with your economy. And next, we're going to show you that, hey, we got you by the balls, America. You know, like, it could be far bigger.
I like think of, like, what if this was all fake? Like, let's say all the statistics and all the information given to the media, it's fake. They're believing it. They're publishing it on a day-to-day basis, freaking people the fuck out. I'm telling you, dude, people are freaking out about this shit. And I understand that it hits older people harder. And I know that, you know, you could be asymptomatic, you could be walking around with the virus. Can you imagine if it got to the point where they were lying about the information, and then the people who are going to the doctor, and they said,
yeah, hey, they're like, oh, motherfucker, you got got. Like, got him.
I mean, it's like they say, you know, can you imagine if a doctor one day, let's say in like 100 years, they say, well, the reason why you came to the doctor with these symptoms is because you believe that you have the symptoms.
The mind is a powerful thing.
I mean, we don't even use all of our...
And that's why, like, if you're truly awoke and the awakening is happening to the people that see a little bit more, they feel a little bit more, right. they're in tune, enlightened, whatever term it is you want to use. It's happening. We're seeing through the distractions, we're seeing through the bluff, through the fog, and you're seeing real for real. And that's what we're here for, is to the general public that mass hysteria is nothing but a social experiment. You buy into it. Just like emotions, if you feed too much into anger, if you feed too much into whatever happiness, sadness, being level, like, you got to know what you're doing with purpose and intent. And if you buy too much into it, it's like being gluttonous with your emotions or with your course of action. You just got to know, you know what I mean? So with all of this going on, there just, we're being toyed with as millennials, as baby boomers, as the older crowd, because as you see it, everyone's just more prone to jump and fester. It's easier to fester like a boil or like a weed in the garden. They grow quicker, more rapid, but we got to weed out the truths and the facts. And what the truths and facts are is that people are influenced very easily. They've been doing these social experiments for years, man, for years. Just to see, you know what I mean? And technology took off, and they're just seeing how far technology can manipulate or control a person's everyday life and lifestyle. I hope I didn't get crazy there.
It's really scary because there's a piece of me that just doesn't believe a fucking thing that's coming out of the anywhere, like any news media. Like, I don't believe it. I know it's affecting people. I don't mean to seem shallow.
It's a bunch of nonsense.
It's
got
to a point where, like, I don't know what to believe.
That is where your gut, your soul, would come into effect. Also, you and I were talking about this the other day. It was, wouldn't you invest in something that was eternal, that was forever? Like the cash bond that you put in the bank that lives forever, like eternity. And our shell, our lifetime here on earth expires at some point. But what happens to the soul on the inside? You know what I mean? What happens to that consciousness, those emotions, those feelings, that inkling that there is more? Okay. You invest in that and you'll be able to see a clear path. It'll just happen how it's supposed to happen. You know what I mean? That's called manifesting. And buying into those emotions and feeding into a certain path, right? And that's what we got to teach to the mass public. Yep. Right there is, yo, if you buy into it, heck yeah, you're more prone to it because you're attracting it. You're feeding into, you're festering on it. Now, is that a healthy root or is that just a weed in the garden? We got to learn how to weed out our thoughts, our emotions, our feelings, our words, our actions. You know what I mean? Like, throw actions in there a third time. That's what it's about. And we're all human, man. We don't have it figured out. It is stumble, get up, fall down, get knocked up, get lifted up, do a double jump, fall back down. But the point of it is man, this is our life. You said it best, Sean. Become the main character of your story. Another close friend of mine, Valeria Cantu, said, be the painter who has the brush in its hands. Now, there was a moment in your life where the brush wasn't in your hands, but now it is, Adam. And I was like, wow, that hit hard. We got to share this. That's what this is about. You know what I mean?
You're absolutely right. I'm glad you said that, man. Perfectly put.
On a side,
well, on a side note,
just put it on a note. Come on, hit me with it.
I mean, on another note, life is strange. I hope that we get to like see each other soon. You know, I'm gonna light a cigarette. You're still smoking. I'm still smoking.
I'm here in Austin, Texas. We're gonna get this on recording because this is official now. Sean Evans, I'm putting him up for free room and board and all the food he can eat. All buffet, 777-7777. Contact us for party and events here in Austin, Texas. Adam Scott Evans, not reliable for any damages or causes of broken bone, medical expenses. Hey, but that's what I'm good. Saying is I'm trying to get Sean out here. He lives 1,100 miles away. I'm sure that we could raise the funds to make this happen. We got to make this happen very soon.
I don't really want anybody paying for me, man. You know how I am.
Dude, we're not. Hey, never be a beggar. Just be out there, man. We got to manifest it because it'll happen. Because when we ask for money, it may not be in the form that we want it. So I'm going to be like, hey, man, I'm going to Venmo you $50 on GP, good peoples. Nah, it's going to be like, hey, Adam, would you like to come in for an extra couple hours? And I'm going to be thinking like, God damn, dude, I've been on my feet all day. Woo, I could really go home and like chillax for a second. But I need to pick up those hours. I need to go the extra mile. That's what we live for, 110%. Sean and I have been projecting this podcast. This is going to be an everyday event. This is our 30-day communication challenge on steroids. This is going to be a business. This is going to be a lifestyle. This is going to be... I've never felt so close to you before, Sean. Thank you, Anchor.
Yes, thank you, Anchor. Truly. I mean, I haven't seen my brother in 7 years, and I know we talk on the phone, but this is something that we can produce for a good cause. And what I mean by that is that maybe we can have some information from our life experience that will help people out there who may be dealing with the same sort of thing, or maybe they're still dealing with trauma from the past. Maybe our story, I mean, like I said earlier in this podcast, we got plenty of stories to talk about, and we'll definitely have plenty of time to get into it. But I'm saying I want to do this podcast not for the money.
Yeah.
Money makes the world go round, of course, and it might even give us the opportunity to connect in physical form. But it's been way too long, and man, I am so blessed to be able to do this dream that we've been talking about. And it truly is a dream, and I want our words to go out to the cosmos, and I want people to listen to us. And if they don't listen to us, that's okay. You know, like, this is something that I really have passion for. You have passion for, and I like talking to people. I like interviewing people. I like getting deep. And if you know me out there, anybody who's listening to me right now, if you know me, you know that I like to dig deep. Same with you, Adam.
Indigo Children. Man, I don't know if it's, we'll dive into that later, but man. It's a Libra thing, maybe, but I'm out here to communicate. I'm out here to cultivate. That means stirring up some problems. That means stirring up some feelings and emotions. That means stirring up some happiness. That's what life's about, the pursuit of happiness. That's what I'm about, that good energy, that good chi.
Yep.
You want to be surrounded, and you want to dress yourself in light, because you want to be light on your toes. It's a process. It's a struggle sometimes. Love is multi-faced, but it is unconditional. And that's what we stand for, right?
That's what we stand for. Truly, that's truly what we stand for.
Well,
I want you to tell the viewers about, you know, you have, just very briefly, yes, I know you're diabetic. And a lot of other people in the world are diabetic as well. So do you have any advice for these people who are struggling with diabetes?
Well, first off, I am not a professional diabetic. I am at most best semi-pro, because I don't take it as serious as I should. But if I were to give medical advice that you've already heard before, it would be your diet. Exercise a little bit.
I'm talking, you're absolutely right, but I'm saying, like, if you saw somebody struggling and it really opened you up to take it seriously, what would you tell that person? And like, you're saving lives here. Yeah. You know, your voice will save lives. So any advice other than
I don't want to give just the ordinary. I want to be extraordinary. So what I would tell them is, young man, young lady, ma'am or mister or sir, listen. God gave you two ears and one mouth, and this is one chance that I want you to hear me out and look me in the eyes so that you can still see clearly. Your life is way too important. Perfect your craft. Seek your passion.
Right.
Stay dressed in light and spread some love. Live long and just, tree hugging hippie coming at you hard and strong and in your face and personal. Yeah, I'm going to hit you strong every time. But I'm going to stand strong for what I believe in, man. And that is getting that message out there. Like, you've got so much to live for. There have been moments where you think that you might want to give up or whatever, but like, you got to push through those, because it can't be any more than morning dew. You can't let your life have like a little storm cloud over your head and stuff. You know, you want to see for those better days, even through the crashing waves. Hang loose, baby. I'm going to pass that over to you.
You're 26 years old, right? You're 26 years old. And if you could, you know, if you could talk to your younger self, is there anything that you would want to say? I always think about this, you know, it's either this or what would I do if we all found out that the world was going to, you know, die in 3 weeks, like by an asteroid or something. It's either that, you know, if you could go back to tell your younger self something that would help you get through the rough obstacles, what would you say? I mean, I would tell myself to, you know, these things, it might not make sense right now, but they're meant to happen. And I know some of us, we hold things that we've done in the past. Maybe we have regrets, but the truth is, these mistakes are what truly define us. And they're just decisions in a chess game that we're supposed to take. So if we lose this chess game, we'll learn how to adapt. Hopefully, we'll learn from our mistakes. And I would just tell myself to, you know, like, keep going. everything's going to be all right, little man, you know? You're going to do great things.
I would sit little 4-year-old, 5-year-old Adam down. And I look him deep in the eyes and I say, young man, you are a king. You will be a king. Every day is a day behind you. Stay focused. Persevere. I'll give him some sort of big story rhyme that he could just, it would be a rhyme that stuck with him the rest of his life. Repetition, we're casting spells. And I've been praying for this day right here.
Me too, man.
I love you very much so.
I love you, man.
Unconditional love.
I think that's gonna do it for the third podcast here on Goobs. My name is Sean Evans. You can follow me on Instagram at Sean Evans Official. My brother Adam Evans on the other line in Austin, Texas. Yeah. He's starting his podcast.
I'm sure you'll ask for a shout out here in the next upcoming episodes. But thank you for having me this evening. It's always a good time with you on the other line. Even when it's not appropriate, we always have some time to get up and close and personal. We have some time to laugh and joke around a little bit and then just kind of kick the shit. But I love you. Thank you for having me. Pardon my language. I'm just a sailor, but I'm rocking it. I love you. Call me after this. Don't pick your boogers. Brush your teeth. And take your contacts out. Love you. Bye. All right, bye. Let it hang loose.
I love you too, man.
All right, bye.
Hang loose. Much.